right, everybody, thanks for joining. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. So, again, I'm going to start this episode by saying that if you haven't listened to my previous episodes, if you haven't started from the beginning, please do so, because that will fill in a lot of the gaps for you. I'm going to focus on religion for this episode, mainly because, boy, there's just a lot of posts going around right now. All are political, a lot are religious and political, and I'm not going to get into politics. I try not to talk politics, but I am going to discuss religion. And I'm not going to go down the political route. It's not going to be political. So I was raised from a very early age in a church called the Salvation Army. That's probably not nationwide. It's probably only Western. So, you know, you can kind of narrow down my location if that's what you're doing. The Salvation Army is a Christian church. They used to wear little suits, and the women would wear little dress suits, and they would have like a little kind of a half cape shawl thing that they would wear and a little bonnet. And it was all very navy colored. I think it had like a red piping or something, I seem to remember. But it was all very fancy, very organized. The men wore suits, and some of them wore little kind of like a captain's cap, only it was also navy to match the suit, as I recall anyway. My mom and dad were heavily into this church, so I went to Sunday school classes there. I learned my, you know, early religious fundamentals there. That's where I got kind of a basis of charity work and kind of shared humanity. A lot of what they used to do was they would go around, and seems like I kind of remember them having a tambourine or something, maybe a drum where they would set up shop. They always are the ones that do the kettlebells, where it's like a red kettle that they put out in front of the store and they ring a little bell, and you know, you put your coins in there at Christmas time, and they use that money to help the needy, basically. They do food drives. I know that they have thrift stores where you can donate. They are really for helping the fellow man, basically. And because it was such a young age when I was involved, I don't really remember what much more than that. So at the time that mom and dad were active in this religion, you know, you expect them to be religious. There was, you know, that was back in the day in the 70s. And so I remember like I don't remember the salesman. I remember the story, and I actually have the Bible, but of a door-to-door salesman coming, selling Bibles. And it was a great big fancy Bible. I mean, this thing is bigger than any laptop and thick. It's as thick as a 2-inch binder at least. It's very fancy. It's white with kind of gold embellishments and has a picture of Jesus on the front. You know, it's very fancy, very nice. And they used to display it in our living room, you know, when we lived in the valley. It was always opened on kind of a book prop of sorts that would prop it up. So it wasn't just laying on a table. It was actually displayed for all to see. So they were obviously, you know, proud of their religion. My family life was anything but religious, though, from being molested and mom and dad fighting constantly. It was it was just a different life. I don't remember mom and dad ever sleeping together. I don't remember them touching each other except for when mom hit dad, threw things at him. So it was a different life. It wasn't a religious life at all. I remember learning my cuss words from my mom. You know, cocksucker and, I mean, everything she could spew, bastard and, you know, everything. I knew from an early age. I didn't use those words at an early age, but I definitely knew them. So it was just a different lifestyle. My sister was frivolous. You know, she was a normal teenager for those days. So it was, you know, not a religious upbringing, even though I had my roots in that church. Dad then worked for a Nazarene church as a janitor. And you remember these stories if you listened to the previous podcasts that I put out, the episodes. because he did that, I attended many sessions there. And actually, I take that back. I don't know if I really attended many sessions there, but I definitely attended, you know, the classes for the kids where they do arts and crafts and, you know, all of that stuff. So I had many friends in the church and I was involved in the church and, you know, without actually maybe attending on Sundays, because I don't really remember attending on Sundays. Dad was friends with the pastors and, you know, it was very involved. It was a very kind of religious side to our family without actually being a member per se. There was, you know, the episode outside of the church where I was locking up my bicycle and the kid looked under my dress and told me what nice panties I have and I freaked out, you know. So there was, you know, lots of young people around and all of them were apparently religious or supposed to be religious. But I don't really think, that they were the epitome of what you think of as a religious person. Mainly because, well, you just don't think of religious people doing those types of things. And I suppose when we're talking about religion, we have to come to the reality that there are truly good people that are religious, and then there are truly bad people that are religious. So we have to acknowledge that as well. So we moved up in the hills to that little mountain town, and, you know, I had been popular, my parents had been busy. I was kind of the rich kid, and we moved up there, and it was instantly the exact opposite. I was the outsider. I was not popular. I was the outcast. It was a different lifestyle for sure. There was no religion involved whatsoever, so I fell away from everything. I think that I maintained my roots, but I did not practice. We didn't go to church. There were churches up there, but we didn't go to church. We didn't do anything like that. Mom and Dad continued their stealing and continued stocking their store and clothing me however they did. And I just continued to go downhill. So when I on here, I'm really hoping that you've listened to my previous podcasts, but when I married the gay guy that wanted to get in good with the church, I kind of jumped at the chance because in my mind, the embodiment of going to church and having that kind of religion surrounding you was what my early childhood was. It was a family. It was when I felt good about myself. It was when we were busy and active and, you know, I was popular at school. And I guess I kind of thought the whole thing went together, like the epitome of Leave It to Beaver or something, you know. So I jumped at the chance. I started studying, and it was LDS. I'm not sure if I've actually mentioned that before, but it was LDS. So I started studying and practicing and doing everything that I thought I was supposed to do. And I ended up getting baptized in the LDS church. I never made it to temple. I wasn't that good, I guess. I think you actually have to practice and go for about a year before you can get to the temple. But I never made it. I never made it there. So I was practicing and good. And when you go to get baptized, they take you to a church baptismal. I don't think they're in all of the churches. They're in just a few. And they take you off in the dressing room, and they put you in kind of a white polyester jumpsuit is what it's like. And they, you know, have the baptismal tub full, and it's warm, and it's so nice. And then you get in with the person that is baptizing you, and then they dunk you like you think, and you come out. And then you go into the dressing room and get changed again and come back out to all of your audience that's there that watched the whole thing, and they talk and, you know, they say little things and congratulate you, and it's this big to-do. And so that's what I did, and I felt very proud of that, and it was good, I thought, until, you know, later I found out he was gay and had obviously married me to get in good with the church, because as I found out, he was bordering being excommunicated, and this was his way back in, because at least back then, I'm not sure nowadays, but at least back then, they did not believe in allowing gay people to be members of their church. So that was a big deal. After the kids were born, their dad and I started being in the church again. We started going again. We started doing home visits, which is where you go around and you visit your fellow people. You know, and just talk scriptures and ask them if there's anything you can do and make sure everybody's okay and have cookies and Kool-Aid and whatever. We started doing that and, you know, really attending regularly. So my kids there, and they were actually baptized. They were baptized later. I'll get into that. But that was their fundamental upbringing. So they kind of got a good grasp on the early religious beliefs, because, you know, LDS has Sunday school and all that too, and they teach you all that stuff, and you do coloring, and, you know, you learn all the basics. The LDS church has a great welfare system. They have thrift stores. They have I mean, they're basically set up like a whole entity in and of itself. So if the government ever crashes, by God, if you're LDS, you'll be okay, because they have it down to a T. That's the one thing I could say about them. They make sure that their members are okay through every aspect. I think I'm going to pause here for just a second. I'll throw in one of these quick ads, and then I'll be right back. So bear with me just really quick. All right, I'm back. Thanks for bearing with me. So when I divorced the kids' dad and got with husband number four, he was also LDS. And I think I've talked about some of the attraction there. It was, you know, he had a big family. He had kids, and I guess I was just in this la-la land of still wanting that kind of leave it to beaver existence. You know, I wanted, you know, all the kids, and everybody would be happy, and we'd be going to church, and, you know, it would be just this perfect little life that I never had, really. And I got involved in the church again, and of course this time it was with the kids. And, you know, between husbands I had fallen away, so I wasn't going to church for a very long time. And in fact, the first day I went with husband number four, I made the joke that, you know, the church would catch on fire when I walked in the door. That didn't happen. And everybody was very forgiving, but I had to go and talk to the bishop, and the bishop, you know, I had to come clean and tell him, you know, all this stuff that had happened and everything. And I actually had to do that when I started going with the kids' dad too, because you have to kind of bare your soul, I guess. So it was, I don't know, it was a different experience going with him, because he was well liked in the church, and, you know, his kids were very involved. And there was a couple of comments that I was, you know, oh, this must be your, I can't even think of the term, but kind of your, show-off wife. You know, I was just this thing to be put on a pedestal. And I didn't like that very much. And it was, that didn't seem very religious to me. And then the more we went, the more I realized, you know, his son was the one that was molesting the daughters when they were much younger, way before I met them. And it turns out that it was another older boy that was in the church that had been molesting the son, which caused that and was part of that whole molesting thing. So, you know, I think that, you know, again, there's good and there's bad people. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're religious or what religion or what, you know, political affiliation. It doesn't, you know, nothing specifically makes you bad. You're just either bad or you're not. There's good and bad people in all walks of life. I feel like I don't have much experience with Catholics. I've been to a Catholic funeral before, and I know the Catholic churches are pretty fabulous. Nothing compared to the temple. I still never made it to the temple, by the way. I went on a tour in the temple, and it was absolutely grand, but I never made it to the temple. I never made it because I just couldn't fathom. I don't think that should be your highlight. I don't think that should be your goal, to go and sit amongst the riches while other people are poverty-stricken and starving on the sidewalks and being abused everywhere around you. I don't think that should be your goal. I don't think you should want to sit amongst the riches and then, you know, envy what, you know, we've built for our Lord, you know, as his shrine. I don't think that. I don't think he would like that. I think that's totally a man-made aspect. I don't get into that. I don't buy into that. Maybe that's one of the downfalls. But you hear about all the Catholic preachers, and I guess, I don't know if they're called preachers or not in Catholicism. But you hear about, you know, them, the priests, I guess is what they're called, touching the young boys, the altar boys, and, you know, you hear about all this stuff. You also hear about the LDS, you know, men that are higher up in the church that do the Boy Scouts campouts and, you know, all the issues with that. So, I mean, you hear these stories with every religion. It's not just one religion. So you can't point the finger at one and say, my religion is better than yours, because chances are it's probably not. It's the same. It's just a different viewpoint. And of course, because it's your viewpoint, you think it's better than others, but it's really just the same. My current husband is Presbyterian. So when we got married, we started going to a Presbyterian church, and you know, they had a band, and, you know, they would play a band, and it was fun, and, you know, music and drums, and that was pretty fun. It wasn't disturbing like some of the others that I visited back east when I was with my son when he was first born. I don't know, religions are kind of a different breed. I understand why they're there. I understand that you have to give people a sense of right and wrong, and you have to give them something to be scared of so that they don't tempt fate. And you have to give them something to strive for. You have to give them a promise of something that is relatable to them, which usually is gold and riches and, you know, if you're good, I'll give you this. And that's kind of how I view it now, is that it's just kind of a promise to keep you on the good, straight, and narrow so you don't go around raping and killing and being bad. But I think so many people kind of tempt that belief system nowadays that, you know, it's just not working anymore. I'm still religious. I still believe in God. And I guess maybe I shouldn't say I'm religious. I should say I'm spiritual. So I believe in God and Jesus and, you know, all those stories, and I'm not sure how factual they are. I think they kind of skirt the truth as the writers knew it, and then, of course, they're translated 100 times. But, you know, I believe those stories. I believe that there's a greater power that created the world, and I believe that there's, you know, a high and mighty, and I believe that you should be good and do good unto others. I don't believe you should point the finger at people, although I'm guilty of that too. But I think that you should practice being good, and I think that we're probably all just balls of energy. Where that came from, I have no idea. Probably some godlike figure. But in the end, I think that's going to play out how you end up when you return to that ball of energy state. I'll bring up one other religion here. And I don't even know what religion it is. So if somebody can, you know, enlighten me, I welcome that. I had a friend, and she was actually my math professor when I went to college as an adult. And I've commented on social media about this, but she always said that she could never tell her husband no, that they just believed that they couldn't say no. So I was appalled by that, and I said, what do you mean? I said, you know, what happens if you're sick? What happens if you don't feel good or don't want to or have a bladder infection? By God. And she said, well, hopefully he would never ask in those times. And I just think, I just can't even imagine not being able to say no. Like, there cannot be 100% of the time where she wants exactly what he wants. So if he asks, she has to say yes regardless. She never wore makeup. She wore frumpy clothes, so I don't think it was working for her either. I think that she was suffering from some form of depression somewhere. She gave up her life eventually to move so that he could practice to become a preacher in this religion. And we had another girlfriend that we just loved. And when this girlfriend came out as gay and came out, she was going to marry another woman, I still loved her dearly. I was so proud of her for coming out and coming to this realization, because she had some horrible stories, you know. And our friend, our religious friend, turned her back on her and said, "I'm sorry, I don't believe that way, and I can't be your friend anymore." And she unfriended her on social media, and that was it. And I just feel like that's just not what the pit of religion is supposed to be. I think religion is supposed to make you want to be better and do good. And I just can't imagine that, you know, alienating somebody and cutting them off because of their preferences, you know, is a good thing. I can't imagine that not having a say over your own body is a good thing. I can't imagine that somebody making fun of handicapped people or belittling or berating women or, you know, just spewing hate speech. I can't imagine that that is a person that God is watching out for. I can't believe that that is a religious person. I would think that God would be the opposite and be backing the person on the street corner that, you know, is just handing out nickels to people or flowers to people, you know. And I'm not sure, maybe my viewpoint is totally skewed. I could totally be wrong. But I kind of don't think so. So anyway, I think I'm going to end there. Religion is such a hot topic, and I'm sure I'm going to get a bunch of responses from this, but I felt the need to at least spew my point, because from everything, you know, my daughter is now atheist, and neither of my kids go to church, and I think my views have skewed somewhat, so I just felt the need to put this out there in case there's anybody else that's struggling with their thoughts or beliefs or, you know, what they're seeing on social media nowadays. So I think the basis of this is be good and do good and think positive thoughts and don't let anybody influence you otherwise. So anyway, thanks for listening. I appreciate you as always. Take care. Bye-bye.